Welcome to the Not Just a Pony Ride podcast, presented to you by Hetra University. If you've landed here, you're probably passionate about how horses help people. This podcast is for anyone who helps others experience the benefits of horses or those who have experienced it themselves. If you're in the equine assisted services industry, we're here to help you. If you're here just to learn more, you're in the right place. Welcome to your community of like-minded people, where you will hear stories, education, science, and explanations about how what we do is so much more than just a pony ride. And now, from the Hetra campus in Gretna, Nebraska, here's your host, occupational therapist and CTRI, Katie Ott.
Hey gang, welcome back. Today I have an interesting episode between two of Hetra's cherished professionals. I have Cassidy Fredrickson, who is a CTRI, and then I have Kelly Bolish, who is a mental health therapist. And they are going to talk to us about co-facilitation. So how we complete mounted mental health sessions with the assistance of, obviously, our mental health provider, as well as our CTRI, who provides some of that equine knowledge and the instruction on the equine side of things, while we're also targeting some very specific mental health goals. So I'm excited for them to kind of explain how they go through that process, as well as give us a few tips and a few of the cool activities that they're doing to help really tease out some of those mental health skills. Enjoy. Welcome to the show, Cassidy and Kelly. Before we get started, why don't you tell me who you are and why you're here, Cassidy?
Hello, I am Cassidy Fredrickson. I am an occupational therapist and I am a certified therapeutic writing instructor.
All right. Well, my name is Kelly Bolish. I am a licensed mental health practitioner and a licensed substance use therapist as well. And I have been with Hetra since January 1st of 2022. I started out in a part-time capacity and then went to full-time at Hetra January 1st of 2023.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. So you've been doing a lot of work with in-session work. You've been doing some group work with some of our participants. You've really started some good programming for us for mental health. So I'm excited to talk to you both today about how your fields overlap. Do you want to tell me a little bit about what skills you're targeting, Kelly?
Mm-hmm. So I specifically like to target more of the social emotional concepts. And so utilizing kind of CBT or DBT approaches within a session. And so really looking at those interventions and how we work together within this capacity for this co-facilitation model. And so through that, we will do individual work as well as involving families. So parents, guardians, observing our sessions also have an opportunity to participate because family therapy is a little bit more difficult in this environment. So trying to continue to bring comprehensive services within a session.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So how Kelly and I have built these groups, now a lot of our groups are built off of getting an eval, kind of hearing about the participant, you know, what kind of are their goals? What are they struggling with? Okay, you would be paired really well with another participant that I already have.
And I think this is a really unique opportunity that we have here at Hetra to really practice this co-facilitation model, because it's not Cassidy doing her individual work and I'm doing individual work, but it's a shared learning model, mm-hmm. which is unique.
Right. So for those of you listening, so you know, everybody that comes to Hetra has some type of evaluation, whether that be more in-depth for our folks that have some type of mental or physical disability. We ask them what their goals are, what they want to achieve, and then we place them accordingly into our programming. So I feel like we've been having more and more participants that want to learn how to ride, really enjoy the horse aspect of it. And then we need to work on, you know, maybe they've got some anxiety, or maybe they have, like you said, Cassidy, that social kind of communication, working with peers and figuring out kind of navigating that mm-hmm. realm of life, but still wanting to learn how to ride and wanting yeah. to do some of those things. So how do you guys carefully manage the teaching, you know, maybe teaching reining or teaching trot or whatever it is with mental health?
So I will say that Kelly and I do a very good job bouncing off ideas and kind of feeding off of each other. So I'll be like, okay, well, I really need them to work on using their leg cues today. And Kelly's like, okay, I can work with that. So then we'll go in and I kind of explain how to use their leg cues. And then we slowly just tie in things that those participants are working on, like confidence. Mm-hmm. And a lot of participants are working on the ability to be comfortable and okay with making mistakes. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Then we kind of set them up into different patterns or obstacles so we can work through those situations, but they're also still working on their reins and stuff like that.
Right. And even before we get into some of that, when we're looking at starting a session, while Cassidy is working on, you know, assisting the participant to get mounted for their writing session, I then interact with the families outside in the parent corral, and we identify what sort of things are you seeing this past week, if there are behavioral focuses that we can continue to tie into the session and what that looks like, or any concerns to interact with the family. And then really working with the participant once they're in the session to do what we like to kind of talk through as an emotional check-in. Mm-hmm. So identifying where that participant is at prior to engagement in some of these activities. Because if we know they're a little emotionally escalated, then we work to intervene immediately to work on those de-escalation techniques to help calm. So that way they can be successful. And so really setting them up for success in what those interventions look like and utilizing our team. So I think the really neat thing about a co-facilitation model is just the shared responsibility that Cassidy and I have. And so if I'm working through an intervention, Cassidy really has an opportunity, you know, to observe and support the participant from her stance. And then that way, when I've worked through the intervention, I can do the same thing. And so we have those shared responsibilities for those interventions, and the mutual respect amongst both of us and how we work through those plans, and being able to kind of emphasize what those activities look like, and then really working with the participants to help them be successful.
Mm-hmm. So how do you guys layer in some of that when it's more of a group model?
Mm-hmm. Well, I really like to take advantage of them having each other. So we're going to work on our reins and leg cues today. Okay, client A, you roll this dice. Okay, we get this many steps. Well, let's make a pattern from it. Okay, you guys have to work together to make the pattern. And then we can work on different communication skills. Okay, this time you guys can talk. Okay, the next time you make your pattern, you can't talk. You can only use your hand gestures. Okay, well, then we're focusing on different types of communication, and they're kind of realizing there are different communication styles that they can use, where a lot of kids want to just talk, or just be quiet and listen. So this kind of gives both of those individuals different styles to be able to communicate with each other and be able to take a step back and listen to each other.
Mm-hmm. And I really think it's supporting those individual strengths too, because when you have more of those group dynamics, that they're each going to come with their own unique strengths. And how do we kind of capitalize on those strengths to help with further learning opportunities for others? We may have one that, you know, communicates more non-verbally, and the other one may communicate more verbally. So how do we kind of utilize that and enhance those strengths to help each of them grow within their skills and to be successful within that session? And we do a lot of that as well through different role modeling and how we practice those social emotional concepts and really get that engagement within the session.
And I think that's a piece of it that is really different about the co-facilitation model, is that you have two professionals that are there that can model things, that can, you know, bounce around ideas in session on, you know, right on the fly. And I think that's a good model for our participants to see too, is how we work together as professionals, how they can interact then with their peers.
Mm-hmm. And even though, like, we have the best plans of going into session, you know, based on things we need to work on, but Cassidy and I, we really respect where the individual is at when they're coming into session, knowing that not every time they're going to come into session, you know, they've had the best day. Yeah. And so how do we then help them be successful with where they're at and meeting those individual needs within that session?
Right. And just so listeners know a little bit too, this kind of just came up in my brain, but so Cassidy is the CTRI during session. Mm-hmm. So you're the horse expert on all of the things happening there. Mm-hmm. And then Kelly, you come in from the mental health perspective to work kind of in that court. So because did you come into Hetra with much horse experience?
In my childhood, not so much in my adulthood.
Okay. So was that a big transition for you coming from, because you were in kind of a clinic setting before and now moving to this?
Yeah, it was definitely a transition in the way that you have to think about how you're going to implement those therapeutic skills that you have in a different capacity, especially with very large animals from a typical outpatient clinic setting.
Right. So it works well to have both professionals there to offer their specialty within this setting. Did you do any co-facilitation with other professionals before this?
So co-facilitation within kind of the clinic outpatient setting is pretty minimal. You would really only have like a co-facilitation service within a group format.
Okay.
So not within kind of like the individual formats, but mm-hmm. a large group anywhere between probably 6 to 12
okay.
individuals.
So when you came into Hetra, was that a little bit of a learning curve for you to try to figure out where those boundaries are and where it overlaps?
I think it's just getting comfortable mm-hmm. with how you adjust kind of your communication, kind of your thought process to be able to utilize just different problem solving methods of how am I going to be able to kind of communicate and work and be mindful of, for one, the time constraints when you're working within a session, because in typical outpatient clinical settings, you're used to 45 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And in many of the services here at Hetra, they're 30 to 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that greatly impacts how you plan and prioritize kind of those treatment goals.
Right. I think there's a lot of centers out there right now that want to get into equine facilitated psychotherapy, some of these mental health services, because they are at a higher demand than they've ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question to you is, what would you say to someone that, you know, maybe it's a mental health, we'll start with you, Kelly, maybe it's a mental health provider that doesn't have a ton of horse experience, but wants to, you know, get in and try some of this stuff. I think this is a great route for centers to go in pairing a mental health provider with someone like a CTRI or someone that's already practicing within the equine field for them to then get together.
Right. Absolutely. It's a neat opportunity to really even further enhance the skills when you're looking at just opportunities for growth being a professional.
Mm-hmm. So what benefits do you guys see in some of your participants?
I would say a lot better communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been talking about communication this whole time, but just seeing communications with families and being able to work with those participants and getting them to be comfortable communicating their needs, communicating how to ask for help, seeing participants grow and be able to ask for help in a lesson, but then go home and ask their parents for help or go to school and ask their teachers for help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, Cassidy, when you're really talking about the communication and speaking with parents weekly, one of the biggest things that I have heard is that there were a lot of families out there that had tried some more traditional outpatient settings and were not as successful as they had hoped to be. And so mm-hmm. coming into an environment like this, being a non-traditional environment and having the co-facilitation aspect really allowed them an opportunity not only to learn the skills, but to be able to apply the skills in that non-traditional setting where then they can take those skills outside of here and begin implementing within home or school.
Mm-hmm. This episode is sponsored by Stable Moments. Did you know that there are over 400,000 children in the United States foster care system? Most of these children have complex trauma needs, which makes them ideal candidates for equine-assisted learning programs. If you serve or want to serve children in foster care, Stable Moments has a plug-and-play program model utilizing community mentors and equine-assisted learning to develop life skills and heal developmental trauma. With their online certification program, you can become certified in this model and start serving kids by next season. What's even better is the program can be funded by Department of Children and Families, and the mentors are all volunteers. To learn more, head over to stablemoments.com and check out their free webinar, Healing Trauma with EAL and Mentorship. Do you think there are some families that maybe started and didn't know the, you know, possibilities of what could become after you guys started doing a co-facilitation? Like, wow, this is really, really helpful. I thought we were just going to ride a horse, but we're really doing work here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Cassidy and I, we get that feedback actually quite often.
Yeah, we love getting that feedback.
And working to really, you know, kind of enhance those services, not just here at Hetra, but within our community and our, you know, work with other facilities as well, is how do we really kind of bring some of that co-facilitation?
You know, I don't have the privilege to have her in all of my lessons, mm-hmm. but it's really nice that she can check in and then pop into the arena and say, you know, I'm started the lesson. She pops in and says, hey, you know, this is what we got going on this week. This was kind of our focus. Maybe we kind of need to go this way instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can switch gears, think on the fly and go with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helps just get the families engaged, get mm-hmm. the parents engaged.
And families want to be engaged. So they'll talk to Cassidy and I at the end of, you know, the session, wanting to know what they were working on, kind of some of that focus, doing that review, because they're genuinely excited mm-hmm. to have that involvement, you know, with their child or that youth or that individual in programming and how they can continue to kind of further that within that home environment.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we talk a little bit about some specific activities that you guys might do that shows, that demonstrates a good example of overlapping.
So one of our favorite activities to do is, well, two of our favorite activities is to, when they first meet, bring them into the middle and kind of work on 2-point and sitting mm-hmm. and similarities and differences, which are 2-point if you like to play soccer, stay sitting, or back up your horse a step if you like to play football.
Mm,
and then they do one or the other. And then you can kind of see, like, what are they going to pick? You know, and then they kind of get excited and like, we picked the same thing, you know. And then we like to do another activity is our Legos that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We like to take a set of Legos, get the picture.
You have a picture of like a stimulus.
So I have a picture of a...
Build this pattern.
Yes. I have a picture of a pattern of Legos. And so we take the 6 Legos. And for those of you listening, they're not like tiny Legos. They're like Duplos
mm-hmm.
for those of us back in the 90s. So we take Duplos and we take a picture of a main pattern. So we'll give one participant the pattern. And then we take the Legos, hide them in the arena. Okay, go work on your reins to go find your Legos. Come back to the middle. Okay, participant A, you have the pattern. Participant B, you have the Legos. Participant A, tell participant B how to build this without showing them.
Yeah, and we really get to work on those healthy communication skills
mm-hmm.
and what that looks like and the active listening and how you kind of really engage.
And patience.
So the, what was the first one? Oh, the 2-point if you like this, or back your horse if you like mm-hmm. that. What kinds of, I guess, mental health skills or things do you tease mm-hmm. out from that activity, Kelly?
So really focusing on similarities and differences really helps them to enhance their self and social awareness. And so if they're really kind of struggling with developing some of that insight, this is a great opportunity to say, oh, here's a little bit about me. And then really enhancing that social awareness by being able to connect
mm-hmm.
on
some
of those similarities. Yeah. And how we kind of enhance those connections. And then what we do is when we identify a similarity, we get to celebrate. We celebrate
yes.
that there is a similarity. And then Cassidy and I, we utilize those similarities in future sessions too, to help kind of foster that increased engagement mm-hmm. amongst the two.
We've done an activity where, okay, participant A, you're going to go find these 3 rings. Participant B, you go find these 3 rings, come together. You have to try to drop the ring onto the cone and then the other participant cheers you on.
Mm-hmm.
So they can work on like their confidence with like their voice, because they want to talk so quietly, they kind of get shy. Mm-hmm. So cheering on their friends, yeah. And Kelly and I will have to get really excited and whoa, way to drop that ring.
It is a really neat opportunity when you look at co-facilitation, because you're really playing on the other person's energy. It's if you are working on some of those skills where you have to do that teaching aspect prior to the engagement in that skill, it allows us an opportunity to role model with each other. So that way the participant can see, this is what a healthy, you know, interaction mm-hmm. looks like, or when we're practicing those active listening skills, making that eye contact with the participant, we get to practice that. So we're not just out there asking them to do something. They have little awareness or knowledge about how to do it and mm-hmm. what that expectation is. So when we talk about setting them up for success, it's being able to model between both of us what that skill or that expectation is, and then work to encourage them with those skills as they go through session.
And I love the grading of sort of pressure that it is, because the horses take off a little bit of that pressure, where it's mm-hmm. like, if I were to just walk up to someone in the hallway and be like, woohoo, good job grooming that horse, like I would feel probably uncomfortable. But because we're both mounted on horses and there's a little bit of space, and it takes in the horse mm-hmm. is kind of absorbing some of that uncomfortableness for us, because they're awesome like that.
Exactly.
And that gives participants a little bit more, I think, comfort in being able to practice some of those skills, so that it's a little bit easier next time they try to do it, maybe not mounted mm-hmm. on a horse, right? Mm-hmm.
So much confidence is built and worked on in mm-hmm. all of these sessions. Mm-hmm. You know, being on the horse, one, being able to talk to the other riders in the arena, mm-hmm. being able to use your voice loud enough so they can hear mm-hmm. over, you know, the heater, the fans, mm-hmm. just across the arena, because we're not going to be right next to each other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
And it even allows the families to get engaged, because they're observing, mm-hmm. You know, the session. And when they get to hear their participants celebrate, and even just that small skill, you can see that they're cheering on the participant, and it helps to develop those connections, you know, from families mm-hmm. being able to observe what the session looks like.
Mm-hmm. And getting them to then even go and talk to their parents while they're mm-hmm. on their horse, so then they can use their loud voice to ask for help with their parents. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of work on modeling that. Okay, so this is what you're going to say, and then we'll go over it and we work on saying it.
Mm-hmm. So another thing I want to talk about a little bit is, even though I have a instructor in the room and I have a mental health therapist in the room, a little bit about kind of staying in our lane as professionals in this setting. So we don't, even though we know that horses give us incredible benefits, it gives us confidence, it gives us, you know, improved communication and some of those things. Kelly, I guess maybe this is a question for you. Where do you feel like that line is drawn between Cassidy being able to do some of these things by herself and you coming in to help co-facilitate?
Mm-hmm. I think that's when we kind of look at what are those treatment goals. What, you know, what is that end result that we're trying to kind of achieve with that participant? And I think it is really important, you know, knowing what those limitations are and having that understanding before you go into a session, you know, with very large animals mm-hmm. and several participants, and just being mindful of what the risks and limitations are. And so having that communication and having that understanding that this is where I can engage, this is where I can't engage, and those other responsibilities will then kind of fall to Cassidy. I'm there, you know, to help support. And that's when, if I need to kind of, you know, back off a little bit and what my engagement looks like, because, you know, Cassidy needs to, you know, make sure that tack is correct so they can trot, you know, within a session, mm-hmm. I'm going to stand back, but I'm not, standing back in the capacity just to relax within a session, mm-hmm. but really with an opportunity to observe mm-hmm. and then to support the participant from possibly the middle of the arena while kind of getting them prepared. And we can take that opportunity to still do some skill practice while the other individual is focusing on other areas.
Right. The point across really is that we need to operate within our own specialty areas, mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we know that we're only capable as human beings of learning so many new skills and focusing on so many things at once, right?
So I will say that day by day, it's different. Lesson by lesson, it's different. You know, sometimes the participants come in, you know, escalated, having an issue that we weren't expecting. Mm-hmm. So all my mean potatoes, you know, might get pushed a little to the side, and Callie needs to step up a little more, and I'll just kind of throw some more basic stuff in today so Kelly can focus on more heavy stuff.
And that should be the story of our lessons every day anyway, whether or not we have a mental health provider with us or not. Because as instructors, we need to be able to read our participants and see, you know what? Johnny had a bad day today, and we're probably not going to work on the posting trot today if that's really, really hard for him.
Yeah.
We need to figure out how to read our participants and adjust that accordingly, whether or not we are co-facilitating or if it's just us, right?
Exactly.
So I think that's a good kind of take-home lesson in general. Okay, well, before I wrap up with you gals, I did not prepare you with the question for this year's podcast.
Ooh.
Season 3. The question is, if you could give your younger professional self some advice, what would it be?
Mine would be to step outside of your comfort zone.
Mm.
That there are so many different opportunities for growth as being a mental health practitioner, that within settings, like look at those non-traditional settings to be able to apply your skills in a different way. I think there's a lot of merit there, and getting creative with how you can utilize your mental health practitioner license.
Yeah. And finding people to support you in those, even if it's something you've never, like, did you think 5 years ago you would ever be, you know, full-time working in a barn, Kelly?
Absolutely.
Owning a pair of cowboy boots.
Yeah. So it's good to push yourself outside your comfort zone, but also I think you found a great partner in Hetra to help you, you know, get outside that comfort zone. And now we're thrilled to have you. And I think you're thrilled to be here. So
absolutely.
Cassidy, what would you tell your younger self?
I would say be confident. Mm-hmm. You know more than you think you do. You know a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to keep continuing to tell myself that. And
yeah, we go through whatever you choose to do, whether you choose to go through the CTRI process and do all that mentorship and learning and all of that. Or as a therapist, we went to school to do what we, you know, do. And don't doubt yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. You went to all that schooling. Mm-hmm. You've worked hard. You know your stuff.
Yeah. Trust it. I love it. Well, thank you for sitting down with me today. I appreciate you both. It won't be the last that our audience will hear from either of you, but I was glad to share this little gem that Hetra has really started capitalizing on within our programming, and it's been just phenomenal for a lot of our participants here. So if you have any further questions about how we do this co-facilitation or want to learn more about it, I'll send you over to hetrauniversity.org. You can check out our mentoring services. You can talk with Kelly one-on-one. You can talk with Cassidy one-on-one or both of them. Or we do have a few webinars over at hetrauniversity.org as well. So check us out. Thanks, gals.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode. Until the next one launches, stay connected to our community by joining the Not Just a Pony Ride Facebook group. There, we share exclusive educational content, answer your questions, and review new and exciting developments for the EAS community. Don't forget, if you have suggestions for future episode topics or a lead on a great guest that you think our audience would enjoy, click on the link in the show notes or visit us at hetrauniversity.org. This podcast is presented by Hetra University, an educational arm of the Heartland Equine Therapeutic Riding Academy. Hetra University's mission is to provide high-quality educational offerings to our participants and the EAS community. If you'd like to help us work toward our mission, you can make a donation by visiting us online at hetra.org. Again, I can't thank you all enough for helping Hetra change lives one stride at a time.